I'm really happy to be here. We did just get back from Belarus, and I would love to talk with you about that sometime today. But I don't have time right now. What I've been charged to do this morning is talk about the epicenter of overcoming. That's right. That was the time. The epicenter of overcoming. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm grateful and thankful for this day. Father, I am grateful and thankful for this time. I am grateful and thankful for the Lima Assembly. Father, for the rally every year. Father, how it really is a time to look forward to. Father, a time of fellowship, a time of relaxation. And Father, what a theme, the Perfecting the Saints Rally. Father, I pray that you would be with us as we are perfected in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The epicenter of overcoming. When I got my assignment, I had to look up the word epicenter. And I wondered where Mike found that word. I thought perhaps it was a misspelling. But then when I looked at it, I found out that epicenter wasn't a whole lot different than center. Except that epicenter kind of has the connotation of an earthquake, you know, where the quake radiates from the epicenter. I think that's fitting because really the epicenter of change is going to radiate from a specific point. See, that's going to affect every area of our lives. And when I first thought about epicenter, you see, the center. I thought about connecting it to the overarching issue. See, naturally, the epicenter would naturally be in the overarching issue. And of course, the overarching issue is worship. And worship is in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit and the Word of Truth. Both are pure. The Holy Spirit is pure, and the Word of Truth is pure. So, the epicenter of overcoming must be keeping the church pure. If they don't live up to the standard, I think Bill had it right yesterday, tell them to buck up. Buck up. All right, that's how you get people to change. You tell them to buck up. Or if they don't buck up, throw them out. Galatians 5:20. Pretty clear. Galatians 5:20. Yeah, 19 says the works of the flesh are evident, and adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. See, you're guilty of any of those, you're in big trouble. But not to worry, because, of course, since these come later, they must be a secondary list, so we'll make adjustments for perhaps your idolatry, hatred, and outbursts of wrath. Because those things aren't nearly so public, see. So we'll make, you know, but, you know, the stuff that you're dealing with is the small stuff, you know. Everybody deals with outbursts of wrath. Everybody deals with, you know, but I get over it. It's not something that has, well, but if somebody starts really doing the bad stuff, see, we've got to thump them. And that's the epicenter of change, is thumping. Thump them. See, because if you don't thump them, well, what's the world going to think of the church? See? What kind of view is the world going to have of the church if we don't thump them? What's the world going to think? Newsflash. They don't think much of us at all. We're pretty egocentric if we think they're thinking about us. They ain't thinking. And if they are thinking, they want to kill us. The epicenter of overcoming. Now, you know I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So I really did have to look this up. And here's some of the words I found that were epicenter. The axis of overcoming. Or the base of overcoming. The center of overcoming. I like this one. The heart of overcoming. So what's the heart of overcoming? Well, Bill made an excellent point last night that we've got some snapshots here, some photographs, some pictures that we need to look at. So when we ask ourselves, we want to find the center, we want to find the heart, maybe we ought to get the picture book out. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we've been reading it, verse 1. Now after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In them lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, you think the blind, lame, paralyzed people might be interested in the epicenter of change? Verse 4 says, an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped in first after the stirring of water was made well of whatever diseases he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. I mean, if he ain't changed before that. So, true story. This is not a preacher story. A fellow told me one time, he said, yeah, he said, you know, I've been working with this guy. He said he was baptized a month ago. He said, but he's still smoking cigarettes, so he's obviously not serious about it, so I'm not studying with him anymore. True story. True story. Mm-hmm. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, you want to be made well. Years worth of history to overcome, and Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Now, Bill's here from Oregon, and you know, about our geography and about the great black swan, he can ask some stupid questions. You know, and it kind of taxes me to answer his stupid questions. But here's a guy who's been 38 years. Do you want to get well? I heard somebody say yesterday that until a person gets to that place, see, until a person gets to that place where they really want to get well, there's not a whole lot you can do except just be there. There's been a lot of books in the Christian bookstore written about us being in Christ. A lot more books about us being in Christ than there is about Christ being in us. And notice how that puts the onus on Christ when we're in Christ. See? I just let him take me along for the ride. But he's in us. Now, we understand Christ in us, the hope of glory. See? A legit question to ask people who have the Spirit of Christ in them, if we're looking for the epicenter of change in us. Anybody here got things they need to change? Am I the only one? See? All right, legitimate question. Do you want to be made well? See? Christ in us. Us in Christ. How about Christ expressed as us? Have you ever heard this? We're Christ to this generation. See, we of all people have moved past the denominational Church of Christ idea that Christ is expressed only through us collectively. That is, whenever the Church of Christ acts as an institution, then that is Christ acting. What that corporate emphasis does is gut the personal action of Jesus in the Christian and puts that on an institution or a body acting collectively. What we have traditionally been taught, at least what I was traditionally taught, was basically a static picture of Jesus. See, historical acts of Jesus, a static picture, no relationship. So I like that. Yesterday, Bill talked about, honest, you know, dressing up with the kids with Adventures in Acts. That was pretty cool. And you gotta make that real, see? You gotta live out that picture. Right? You gotta dramatize these events with the kids, you know? I can just see Bill and his boys, doing David and Goliath. There's not a tall person in that house. But we gotta make it real. See? It's not enough to get the photo album out and look. Bill was talking the other night about a picture of his dad receiving the Medal of Honor and the medal in him. But that is a static picture. Now that brings back memories.
But see, it has to have an impact on the day. There's another step that needs to be taken here. See, traditionally, we kind of thought about it like Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension is our representative substitute. And his historical actions become the target of our wellness or our change. And when we respond to God in baptism, see, Jesus assumes our place before the heavenly judge, and the divine judgment pardons and forgives our sins on the basis of Jesus' action. And in this limited framework, God the judge legally imputes the benefits of Christ's righteousness on us and declares that we are in right standing with Him and promises a full inheritance of the benefits. All that's true. But all of that action is external to us outside of the believer. Right, think about that. That puts the onus all on God and no onus on us. Do you want to get well? Do you want to change? Well, of course I do, but I want God to change me. I want to sit down and I want to pray until He changes me. You know, the trouble with that, you know, the trouble with giving it all to Jesus, you know what the trouble with that is? He's going to give it right back to you. Because He has gifted us with an autonomy, see? He has gifted us with a responsibility. He has gifted us with free will. Now, the sheep gate. You thought I lost my place, didn't you? The sheep gate was there in the temple, probably where the sheep were brought in for sacrifice. It was a one-way trip. Whether they knew it or not, they were, somebody else was in control. And that's all external. No onus on the sheep. Let's try it this way. Epicenter of change. Do you want to be sacrificed? The sheep don't get to say. Now, by the sheep gate, there's a pool. And Bethsaida means house of mercy or house of grace. And this pool is famous for its healing powers. Now, Jesus goes there to a pool that is already famous for its healing power. Why? What's the lesson here? The good news of the gospel is not that we can somehow shirk our responsibility. The good news of the gospel is that God in Christ is reinvested and restored in us through the Christian individual. These pictures become living. These templates become templates to act upon. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4.
Hebrews 12:4 says you have not resisted in bloodshed, striving against sin. Well, you bet not. See? Well, you bet not. You see, there's some resistance that needs to take place on our part. Jesus was the manifestation of God in humanly understandable terms. Now, we are to manifest Jesus to the world in understandable terms. It is Christ through us, not Christ carrying us. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We still maintain our spirit. The new creation still maintains the spirit. So there's a transformation process that's happening as my spirit, see, is transformed. It's not like trading baseball cards. I don't get to give him my spirit, he just gives me his, and then that's all, you know, it's like getting your appendix taken out. Static. I don't know who said it. Somebody said it yesterday. That they thought Didymus would be a good name. You know, Thomas, you know, Didymus. I thought that would be I like baseball. I think that would be a great baseball player's name. Didymus. Or maybe a basketball player's name. Jamel Didymus. Yeah, he missed. positive, present, affirmative. Did I miss? No, I couldn't have missed. Jesus knew the story. Jesus knew the history of the pool and its healing power. I'm sure that Jesus knew that he would find sick people who were seeking cures for their infirmities. They're at the pool on the Sabbath because this is kind of an unpredictable situation. See? The waters, when they were going to be troubled, when they were going to be moved, was uncertain. See? Anybody dealing with uncertainty? The perhaps it's not thumping. Perhaps the epicenter of change is not thumping. Maybe it's just knowing what the circumstances are. If they just knew when the water was going to be troubled, they would get in and they would know the circumstances and everything would work out. So maybe the epicenter of change is just knowing what our circumstances. I mean, how many times do I feel like, man, God, if I just knew what you were up to? And you know what? Most of the time, if I did, I wouldn't believe it. There might have been dozens, there might have been a few hundred sick people around the pool. Now, that brings us to the guy who, for 38 years, has needed to discover the epicenter of change. Now, I don't know how old this guy is, but life expectancy in the first century is not more than 40 years old for males. Now, I can see some of you are doing the math. For this man to have been an invalid for 38 years suggests that maybe he is lame to the point of almost helplessness. Man, how hard is that for me to admit that I'm helpless? Now, I don't want to feel helpless. See? You know, that's what we are, aren't we, Davey? We're just helpless. We're just helpless. And sometimes, you know, we want to strive against that. See, do you want to be made well? See, but because we don't like feeling helpless, we want to look for answers, tangible. See, let me get out the photo album and look at the static. No, the Word is living and active and sharper than the truth. See, this is the template. This is the life. So we want to restore the basics of the church, but we need to do it in the marketplace of our time and place here and now. We want to restore the basis of the New Testament church. The Holy Spirit must not be encased and imprisoned in book interpretations or regulated to a judicial courtroom in the heavens. The Spirit of the living God is present in the Christian and exists as the identity of the Christian, functioning to express himself through the Christian. The guy tells Jesus, he said, "Look, I got nobody to help me into the water." And there's no way for somebody to maneuver me there until somebody else beats me to the... And he tells him this in response to the question, do you want to get well? Notice how good we are at avoiding the direct answer. Here's why I can't do it that way. I know what God's Word says, but you know, you don't know my situation. In other words, he tells you, I'm helpless. I used to run into situations at work, and people would tell me why they couldn't do their job and how that was my job to do their job. And one of the popular expressions that developed on the shop floor was, you know, my hands are tied. How many times as Christians, you know, my hands are tied? Jesus, I know what your book says, but in this situation, my hands are tied. Are you starting to see anybody here? You know, are you starting to see anybody in the mirror? Are any of this starting to look familiar to you? What does poor Sap need to overcome? 38 years of helplessness. Could he benefit from knowing the answer to the epicenter of overcoming? How does he get into the pool? Jesus didn't say, how come you haven't got into the pool yet? He said, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well as opposed to staying the way you are? Remember Moses? Moses is trying to persuade Pharaoh. He says, look, so let my people go. Pharaoh's being a tough guy. And He's not going to let him go. He's going to lose his slave labor. See, so to get Pharaoh's attention, God sends a series of plagues. 10. And one of the plagues is a plague of frogs. Frogs. Apparently, there was frogs everywhere in Egypt. You know, frogs in the garden, you know, frogs in the living room, frogs in the kitchen, frogs in the soup, frogs in the bed. Everywhere you went, everywhere you stepped, there's more frogs. Every cupboard door you open, there's more frogs. Every jar you uncorked contained a frog. So Moses goes to Pharaoh. And he says, look, want the frogs to go away? Let my people go. You let people go, frogs go away. Now you check this out. You go back and look at that. Because Pharaoh's remark there is classic. It is classic. You know what he says? He says, okay, I'll think about it. Give me one more night. One more night with the frogs, okay? I tell you what, I will change tomorrow. I go on that diet tomorrow. I'm gonna start this program working on my anger tomorrow. So if tomorrow comes, I'm gonna start doing that Bible reading. So who knows what the lame man? Who knows what you are gonna say when you're face to face with the question? You want to be well. You want to be made well. Epicenter of change. Sometimes, rather than saying, you bet I do, or absolutely yes, or even, let me think about it one more night, the lame man starts in this long, elaborate explanation about why he can't get well. Amen. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. You don't understand. See, I think the Holy Spirit has gone on vacation. Because He's not doing it for me. The lame man thought that his faith rested on someone helping him get in the pool. Why don't somebody from the church reach out to me? And it's somebody else's fault. Well, if I would have had the kind of fellowship I... You want to get well? He, after 38 years, I'm not. Last thing I would want to do is kick a cripple here this morning. You know what I mean? I don't want to kick the invalid. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. Well, maybe a little. But, I mean, 38 years, I think he's probably run some of these scenarios through his head. And you can't imagine another scenario in order to get well. It's not because we're bad people. It's not because he was some kind of a lout. It never occurred to him. There was only one answer that he was focused on that he could see to answer his problem. Because his perspective is static. The question is not, will this plan work for you? The question is, will you work this plan? Right. 100% of the time, it works. How much time have I spent in my life looking for a shortcut? There's got to be an easier way. There's not. There's not. Whatever doctors this guy had given up on him. So he knew doctors weren't going to be able to make him well. All of the herbal concoctions that his family and friends, neighbors had made for him hadn't done any good. He knew the folk remedies weren't going to make him. After 38 years, all the pulses and the ointments and the people had given him no doubt. I mean, you ever been sick and had everybody tell you what you needed to do to get well? I mean, you got more help trying to get well when somebody knows that you've got health problems. See? Everybody's a doctor, ain't they? Let me look at your eyes. I can tell you what's wrong. Let me look at your feet. Let me use your palm. You got kind of an odor about it. I know, but that's not an illness. Now imagine all the help he must have, and he can't get away from them. I mean, I can walk away from people and say, I don't want to hear that. You know, this guy is, like I said, I don't want to kick the cripple. But I know the ointments and the polishes and the wraps, they're not going to make him well. That's exactly what we need to do, is throw ourselves on the mercy of God. He has come to the place, Bethsaida, called the House of Mercy. He's in God's hands, waiting for God's angel to do what only God could do. But what he can and counted on is God himself showing up. This is something we can count on. God showed up! He showed up! We don't have to labor and pull waiting for him to show up. He showed up! But if he's not more than something static like our appendix, and we wonder, he's inside me, what's he doing? See, he is just as alive. Jesus is just as active. Jesus is just as willing. He's just as real. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he continues to ask the question, do you want to get well? Huh? Jesus realized the guy's answering the wrong question. The lame man's answering the question, why can't you get well? I didn't come up with all the kind of reasons why this won't work, why I can't do it. The question is, do you want to get well? Big difference. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be made well? See, we're not just an occupied spirit space or an invaded spirit being. We are something that we were not before we became a Christian. That spiritual exchange created in us and within our spirit. Now, the aptitude to be changed into the very likeness. Didymus, the twin. Now, I'm a spirit to be the twin. See? That old man was crucified. Unable to become the twin. The answer lame man needs is to walk by faith and not by sight. Are you all about why you can or why you can't? the epicenter of overcoming, God's got a better plan. The lame man's been praying all this time. And I'm praying with a good heart. God, let me get into the water. He got no idea that the person of Jesus is going to show up to make him well. We don't know what God's going to do. I'll tell you what, he ain't going to do nothing if you don't talk to him. He ain't going to do nothing if you don't have a relationship with him. He ain't going to do nothing if all you're doing is taking out the photo albums and saying, yeah, remember the day. Jesus said to him, you take some action. You pick up your mat and you walk. And immediately, the lame man picks up his mat and he walks right out. Right out of the pool of Bethesda. Into the arms of the religious leaders looking for Sabbath breakers. Ain't that relevant? By the way, don't you know that that ain't the way we do things in this assembly? Don't you know that it's unlawful for you to be carrying a mat on a Sabbath? He says, man, I just got healed. They said, who healed you? I'll stomp him too. I really thought about connecting the epicenter to overcoming, the epicenter of change to the overarching issue. And of course, the overarching issue is worship. And worship is to be in spirit and in truth. And the Holy Spirit and the Word of Truth both are pure. And so the epicenter of overcoming must be to keep the church pure. And if they don't live up to the standard, stomp them. This guy passes the Pharisees, heads to the temple, probably to be declared cleansed by the priest. And what happens? He runs into Jesus again. This time, Jesus says to him, see, you're well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. It's kind of interesting. You know, I imagine this invalid for 38 years. I'm thinking about all these sins that we thump people about. And if he's been crippled for 38 years, he's not... You know, I mean, not able to. Stop sinning. Unbelief is sin. And if we start thumping people for unbelief, we're all going to get thumped. See, the epicenter of change is faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Now, I don't know. But in a crowd this size,
if you haven't made that initial investment, today is the time and the place, and the only question that you need to answer is, do you want to get well? And if you want to get well, if you want to be made well, you can rise to walk in the newness of life. Maybe you've done that, but how are things working for you? Do you need thumped? Or do you need faith? Faith is the victory.